That our word, our church word for this year is that this is the year of breakthrough and that walls are coming down. How many of y'all remember that? And we did a whole 21-day fast just believing for that. And we're going to sing a song this morning called Jericho that talks a little bit about that, talking about our walls have got to fall. And man, I want you, when we're singing this, it's not hard. It's new. It's not hard, though. I want you to sing it and believe it in faith. And maybe this morning you can even celebrate and change it to my walls have fallen down. But maybe some of you are still in the waiting. And I want you to sing it in faith this morning. Wherever you're at, sing it from a place of faith, a place of victory. And I want you to groove with it. It's got some groove, some grunge. So sing it out. How, if you ain't got no groove, sing it with groove. Try to at least. All right, so here we go. Myself a double thing. this morning, we thank you that we can worship from a place of freedom. God, that we're not alone, that you're with us always. And that because you're in control, we can declare that our wall has got to come down. Over this moment, in every season, this is your promise. Jesus, you reign. Jesus, you reign. Oh. Over this city, over our families, under your covering. Jesus, come on, sing it out this morning, church. That Jesus reigns. Jesus, you reign. And our God reigns. Our God reigns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God reigns.
Jesus,
our God reigns. Oh.
I'm Viva Haas, and I'm here to tell you my story and what God's done in my life recently. The three most important people in my life have been my father, my husband, and my mother-in-law. They were my foundation, my constant affirmation, and my best friend. And in a space of 14 months, all three of them had died. Since I was living in Alaska with my husband as he was sick, I was unable to attend my father's or my mother-in-law's funeral or grieve their loss. And 6 months after we moved to Mississippi, my husband also died. And after his death, the weight of those three losses came crushing down on me. I was an abandoned orphan. The grieving process was long and painful, and I was left with a withered soul. For 5 years, I struggled to get out of that graveyard of my dead soul. And it didn't matter how much I tried, how many Bible classes I attended, I just couldn't escape. Then the Daniel Fast started for the purpose of tearing down walls in our lives. And I started the fast with no purpose in mind. You don't do much sitting in a graveyard. And after the first week of the fast, Pastor Allen called us to surrender just one wall in our life. And I said, okay, God, here's my graveyard. Here's my lifeless soul. They're yours. Then God reminded me, he said, they are not dead, but they are free. And they're rejoicing with Jesus. What am I doing in an empty graveyard? I am blown away. I am stunned by the mercy of God. I don't yet understand what he did deep in my being. But it's like a door to a cellar opened and some light filtered through and a tender seedling was placed in my soul. What's the purpose, the end result of all this? I have no idea. But I think my next step is to put on my hiking boots and go explore what's on the other side of that cellar door and experience the hope, the blessed hope. Peace, joy, and courage in Jesus.
shout my way up to the mountain. I will take hold of the truth. He says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. So we're going to declare that one more time. And man, if there's, because Satan's strategic, he's strategic with his lies. But I want us just to declare that bridge one more time, that confusion has no place. The lies of Satan and the enemy have no place in our hearts, in our thoughts, in our lives. Amen. Come on, sing Fear and Depression. Fear and depression, shame and confusion. You have to bow, you have to bow. All these things that demand my... Come on, sing it out, church.
Stay right here in that moment, knowing that we're a child of God. And we declare that fear and depression, you have to go. You have to go. It's a choice that you and I make, but under the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, it cannot reside unless you allow it. So this morning, if you would close your eyes and lift your hands and just revel in the fact that you are a child of God. You are who Jesus Christ says you are, my child. Free. Free to live. Free to live in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, and we praise your holy name. Amen. Amen. As you're sitting down, look at the person next to you and say, you are good looking today, and I'm glad you are here. It's a whole lot better to have a person sitting next to you than an empty chair, isn't it? We welcome you to our service this morning. So glad that you are here. And probably in a crowd this side this morning, there are some who are visiting for the very first time. And if you are, we issue a warm welcome to you. We're so glad that you have come our way. We ask you, at the end of the service to go through the doors in the back and go straight to the visitor's kiosk. We'd like to give you a small gift. Ask you to fill out a card. We'd like to have a record of your attendance today. We promise we will not come knocking on your door unless you would like for us to. Then we would be happy to, if you'd like to know more about our church. We also ask one other thing. You give us a second chance. Come join us next week. And for those of you, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again. For those of you who are members of RLM, we appreciate when you come. It means a lot when you come. So, having all seven saying all that, boy, that tongue got tangled, didn't it? Anyway, we're going to look at the RLM Minute, if you'll focus your attention.
Attending our church for a while and you feel like God is calling you to be a part of the family here at Resurrection Life, we would like to invite you to our new family members reception.
It's happening next Sunday at 7 o'clock in the children's auditorium. We want you and your family there.
And this will just be a chance for you to get to know us a little bit better and for us to get to know you better, along with eating some snacks.
Hey church, Rich Delgado here, discipleship coordinator. If you want to be a mentor in the kingdom and you have not attended a discipleship session with here at the church, we're going to have another one on March 10th from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. in the Java Cafe, and we'll be going through the Breaking Ground book for those that want to be disciplers to others. So please join us. Thanks.
You know, life transformation is something to be celebrated. And if God has transformed your life and you want to be water baptized, we're doing that next Sunday in both services. All you need to do is call the church office to speak with one of our staff pastors. And as a church, we want to celebrate the life that you found in Jesus Christ.
Journey Youth, March 19th through the 21st, is our Ignite weekend. And we got Caleb Moran coming to speak to you guys for our service on Saturday night.
The cost is only $25. That gets you your t-shirt, your food for the weekend. You get to hear Caleb Moran speak, and we've got a super fun event planned for you guys for Saturday afternoon. We cannot wait to see you there.
If you're 50 years and older, our Young at Heart is having their monthly meeting on the 13th of March.
It's at 5 p.m. in the Children's Sanctuary, and all we're asking from you is to bring your favorite finger food.
It's a masquerade theme. Yes. So, Todd, you can take your mask off now.
I don't have a mask on.
Are you sure?
Oh, that doesn't snap back.
How latex is that?
You're so mean!
We had so much fun this past weekend between the daddy-daughter dance
and the Journey Youth Guys shootout, so be sure to check out these highlights right here.
certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to have inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what's written? How do you read it? And he said, Lord, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus Christ said, you answered rightly. Do this and you will live. Everybody say live. But he, wanting to justify himself, why was he wanting to justify himself? Everybody look at me. Why was he wanting to justify himself? I'll tell you why. Because he's like, he must be from southern Judea. Because he's a lot like a lot of southern Christians that know a lot that they're not walking out. Just thought I'd throw that. That's not what I'm preaching about, but that's free. Know a lot, but not walking it out. Jesus said to him, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell amongst thieves, who stripped him, beat him up, wounded him, and y'all are depressed me on my joke, leaving him half dead. My joke last week, y'all didn't appreciate it. This was the first mule snatching, my mule jacking. You know how we have carjacking today? This is a mule jacking. Anyway, I came up with that myself. That's pretty good. Dadgummit. Now, left him for dead. A certain priest came down the road, and he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, he arrived at the place, looked, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bandaged him, pouring oil and wine, and put him on his animal, and brought him to the inn, took care of him. The next day, gave the innkeeper money and said, if this is not enough, I'll pay you back when I come back. Of these three, who do you think was a neighbor? He said, he wouldn't even call his name. He said, he who showed mercy, go and do likewise. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that you will speak to us. God, I pray that your anointing will be here. God, I pray that you will open prison doors today. God, today I pray that you will set us free. God, I pray we will let go today. Let go today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we've started a series back a while ago, and this is, we're going to end it with the Lord's Supper today. We talked about real love. We talked about real love, agape love. Agape love is what God, we started the first Sunday talking about, that's the way God loves us. That's the way God loves you. It's undeserved. It's unwarranted. It's unearned. You can't do anything to make God love you any more than he already does. You can't do anything to make God love you any less than he already does, because he chose to love you. Are you hearing me? It's a love by choice. He chose to love you that way. And we explored that and talked about that. That the real love is when you love by choice, not by your feelings or your emotions. Bad pizza can change your emotions. Amen? Amen. I mean, somebody acts wrong to you. You know, you find out what kind of love you have when they cut you off in traffic. All of a sudden your emotions get involved. Real love is not an emotion, it's a choice. The kind of love God has toward us. It should be reveled in. The only way you can really learn it is to have it, is to believe it and receive it. Just know it. Don't think you can earn it. Don't think you can do some, or I'm a pretty good, or compare yourself to somebody else. God chose to love you before you ever were born. He chose to love you. Amen. That's good news. We should revel in it. Then we talked about giving it away, learning to give away what we have. That's where the flow. And when you do that, you'll live. You'll have a life worth living. Eternal life. When is eternal life? right now. If it's eternal, it don't start when you're dead. It starts now. I mean, he says you'll live. Now, I have been stuck. Elisha, you might want to bring this down because I feel myself getting fired up. You know, I can't stand them hollering preachers. I do not holler. I speak with emphasis. Now, you need to understand. You need to hear this. I am stuck on verse 28. I'm stuck on verse 20. I just can't get past it. Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, makes a statement. And we just blow right past it. Here's the statement. You do this and you'll live. He didn't say anything about eternal life. You'll have abundant life. You'll live. You'll live a life worth living. I do not want to live a life that I have regrets. I don't want to live a life and get to the end and go, if I had it to do over again, I don't. You don't. Get it right the first time. Amen. No, sir, I'm not saying, I am not talking about perfection. I'm not using the word perfection. But you can live a good life. You can live a life worth living. You don't have to endure. And that's what I see in the face of Christians. We're just getting by, trying to make it through until the next problem comes and just trying to survive. Well, I'm making it. Making it. Well, so is the prisoners in jail and the prisoners at Guantanamo. They're making it. They live every day. God says, I come to give you life more abundantly. And hear this. The King of the universe says, look, you do these two things and you'll live. Fear, worry, depression, brokenness, all that will be overcome by life. Now, as we look at this, I love the simplicity of God. We could fill this room many times over with theological books explaining God, explaining how you do it, explaining what you are. Well, this is the reason you should. This is how. And here, the man that started it all says, look, I really just want you to do two things. You know, when's Jesus coming back? I really just want you to do two things. Well, what do you think? Is so-and-so the Antichrist? Just do two things. Well, you know, am I wearing the right, am I reading the right Bible? Am I cutting my hair? Am I doing, you know, like, just do two things. Just two. Now, I don't have time. We're not talking about, you know, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Here's what that says, though. Here's what it means. Put God first. Put God first. It means when he says love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, in everything I do, just consult the Lord. Put him first. Put his opinion before your opinion. God's opinion is not an option. It is the option. Some people say, well, the Bible says this. My mother-in-law says this. My husband says this. So I'm going to weigh out all the options. No, no, no. You will eventually blow yourself up. Just do what, God, what's your option? Well, God, I don't really like that option. We'll do it anyway. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. He said, man, is there another option here? Did he not? He said to God, is there another option here? He didn't want to, but he did it anyway because he put God first. He loved him with all. I love this. You know, in my job, I get to go to the hospital a lot. And I don't really like to go to the hospital a lot because it's full of sick people. You know, and, you know, it just, I feel like I need to bathe when I leave the hospital, you know. But I go. And here's what they say. I've heard this a gazillion times. And I have compassion, and I don't go off like I'm about to go off right now. I just do it. But here's what they say. Well, and they'll, you know, they'll get spiritual. Somebody in the family. Well, preacher, we've done all we can do. So I guess we need to pray. And so usually in the hospital, I go, yeah, we need to pray. But right now, I ain't doing that. I mean, that's the most ridiculous statement in the universe. If I am a Christian, I should pray first. That should be the first thing. God, what's your opinion of this sickness? What's your opinion? God, what's going on? What should we do? How should we do this? Do you understand that God is first? That's what it means to love God. Just put him first in your consultation. And he says, all right, second thing, love your neighbor. And he says, as you love yourself, but then he says, as I have loved you. Later on, Jesus upped the ante. As I have loved you. What does that mean? He's talking about 1 Corinthians 13 style. That's what he's saying. Love your neighbor. What does that mean? Love is long suffering. Love is inconvenient. Love is patient. It's kind. It's going to mess up my schedule. He's saying love people like that. And you will have, and look, none of those words are emotions. They're all choices. Just like the agape, I choose to love. I'm going to choose to be kind to you because the love of God has been kind to me. I choose to be long-suffering because Jesus Christ was long-suffering with me. I'm choosing to be patient. When you love people that way, you live. Why am I saying that? When I give away the life of God, he always gives me more. And it's better and refreshing. And you live. I don't want to go through life. I want to live. I don't want to just endure. I don't want to read about other people having miracles and happenings. I want to have happenings. I want God to do things in my life. And he says, if you do it, you'll live. You do it like this, you'll live. Man, I can't get by that. The king of the universe said, you do this, you'll live. There's no knowledge in that. It's just believing it and doing it. Then why are we so broken? Why are the statistics the same in the church as they are? Why are we so, there's so much anger and hatred. I am overwhelmed. It's like this pandemic has pulled back the covers of what's really underneath the church. We're so fearful. We're so broken. We're reeling from bad parenting. We're reeling from no parenting. We are overwhelmed with brokenness. The statistics are same in the church as they are in the world from addictions. And most of the time people get addicted because they're trying to escape. There's no life there. Abuse and all these different things. I just begin to ask the Lord, you got a promise here. It says, you'll live. You'll have a life worth living. Notice I'm not talking, I never have used the word problem-free life. Hadn't used that word. I'm not talking, my man, if you got kids, you got problems. Can I get a witness? I mean, you know, as long as there's more than two human beings, we're going to have problems. And sometimes just one. Sometimes I disagree with myself. Right? But he says we'll live. We'll have a life where we get to the end. Like my dad got to the end. He loved this way. And my dad got to the end. They said, you got to do dialysis. He said, no. I don't think I do. And the doctor said, man, you got to do dialysis. No, man, I'm thinking I don't. He had consulted the Lord, and the Lord said, it's time. Come on home. And he, as he was dying, he was witnessing to the nurse, telling her about Jesus. I'm fixing to go meet him. I hope one day I get to see you. He lived. He was not perfect. But there is life for every Christian that's worth living. And it's not trapped in fear and depression and anxiety and worry and addiction. God says, do these two things and you'll live. Man. Don't miss this. How do we do this? This good Samaritan. Jesus is talking about a Samaritan to a bunch of Jews. How do we live? How do we do this? First of all, we got to stop making excuses. Stop making excuses for not having life. Well, my mama didn't, right? You know. Stop making excuses. We're letting people that are dead and gone still control our lives. We're letting people we don't even talk to anymore still control what's going on. Stop making excuses for bad behavior, for not living, for not having joy and peace. How do we do this? First thing is, don't miss the obvious. Receive and know His love for you. Enjoy that truth constantly. Say it out of your mouth when you feel down. Rehearse it. I am a child. No, Satan, I don't have to be afraid. No, that's not true. I am a child. That's why I worship. That's why I sing. I love rehearsing out of my mouth. I am a child of God. We going here. I'm standing tall in your victory. That you rehearse. You're thankful. Be thankful. Confess it. Be thankful for what God has done. God is good. God is good. Don't blame God for the screw up on the earth. He gave it to us perfect and we promptly let it go. Amen? But in the midst of chaos, He speaks peace and joy. You can feel His love and know His love and know what He's doing. Don't miss the obvious. I really got a short sermon because we got to do the thing, but we stopping right here because I'm gonna get you to understand what I'm saying. We need to rehearse what God has done, what He's doing, and what He's going to do. We need to rehearse who we are. It needs to come out of our mouth. If you're saved right now, we're gonna do it right now. I'm gonna teach you. You hang around my wife very long, by God, you'll get it. I mean, my kids come out with some unthankful, unfuturistic, I can't do, well, I guess, she'll throw down. No, heck no. We ain't allowing lies in our house. No, God's got a purpose and a future. And whoo, and I just sit back and go, what she said. Everybody, if you're saved, lift your hands. Say, I am a child of God. I am fully loved. He is for me. Thank you for your life. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for life. I am a child of God. I'm not an orphan. I'm not forsaken. I will see the victory. Amen. Now see, you got to do that. You got to remind yourself, because Satan's telling you who he is and what you are and all that. You got to remind yourself of the truth. You got to revel in it. You got to roll around it, as we say in South Mississippi. You got to waller in it. Don't let another thought stay. Second thing. That's why. Listen. That's why your quiet time is so important. And please don't tell me, well, I have my quiet time when I'm driving to work. No, no. Not the kind of quiet. You better not be having quiet time while you drive to work. I'm talking about where you concentrate. You need to get up 15 minutes. Go to bed 15 minutes earlier. Get up and have a quiet time and let the Lord speak to you. That's why it's so important. Every time I'm in the presence of the Lord, I walk out of there feeling His love. I'm reminded again that Daddy loves me. Every time. Now, He might have corrected me. You know, He might have told me, man, you were mean to that old lady in Walmart. But that makes me know I'm loved. You stole that donut. Y'all remember that story? Oh, I'll tell you, it's such a great story. I'll tell it. I'm not hungry yet, so we got time. When my wife makes me go to, when my wife makes me go to Walmart, I deserve a treat. That's the way, if you go make me go in Walmart, by God, I'm going to get a treat. Cause that's painful for me. You know. So I walk in Walmart and they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. First thing you see right there to the left is them donuts and eclairs. I got me a cream. That thing must have been 5 foot long. It was a cream-filled eclair. Man, I had that eaten before I got through the frozen section, man. I stayed in the hour. She had my list. I stayed about an hour getting, you know. Well, you know, I just plumb forgot about eating that donut. I just didn't tell her. And I go in my quiet time. See, it's how I know some of you ain't having no quiet time. Because you okay with sin. Because when I get in the presence of God, He says, I love you, but I'm in the presence of God, I'm worshiping. I got my prayer. I'm lifting my hands. I'm singing. I'm worshiping. And then I start talking. I do Bible study. I'm praying for people, calling down the fire of heaven. I mean, I'm praying for missionaries that day. And I'm just. And so I get to the end of my quiet time like I do every day. I say, Lord, is there anything you want to say to me? And it clears I'm talking. You stole that donut. I went, I did steal that donut, didn't I? I said, and so I did what every good little religious person should do. I said, Lord, I repent of stealing. God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And so I'm thinking it's over. The Lord said, get up and go pay for the donut. And I went, Lord, it's Walmart. I'm sure they're not missing a donut. Is this really necessary? Yes. Go pay for that $1.25 donut. Well, I don't like that answer. But I'm putting God first. Okay, I'll go. And I'm thinking I'm just going to walk in and find somebody I don't know. And I walk in, and the first three people are all church members. And so I walk up to a teenager, and I said, this teenager, I said, look, I got a donut Saturday. This was Monday. Here, I need. And she just looked at me like I was an idiot. She said, Brother Allen. And, man, I started to pocket that money. I tried, Lord. I tried. She wouldn't take my money. I mean, I'm hearing the Lord in my head, pay for the donut. I said, look, it's an issue with the Lord. Here's my money. And she went, okay, well, what kind do you have? And I had to walk over there, find out exactly how much it was. And she started to announce, bakery online. I said, no, I'll just walk over there. I need to revel. See, God love, if He doesn't correct you, if you're not being corrected, you don't know the love of God. He said He corrects those He loves. Amen.
Amen.
Second thing, I want to look at this story. The second thing you do, you got to revel in the love of God for you. But you got to learn to live. You got to keep your heart clean. You've got to keep your heart clean. You know, there's this thing, heart disease is still the number one killer. And most of it's caused by plaque. And plaque is stuff that we eat and stuff, and we, over years, it builds up until finally it shuts you down. And they have bypass surgeries and all that. That's exactly what happens to Christians. We let things build up. Look at this, Jared. First of all, we know, because he's talking to a group of Jews, we know that the businessman that got robbed was a Jew. Because he said a certain man, he identified the Samaritan. And this Samaritan, forget the priest and the Levite, man, why they did what they did or didn't do what they do. I want to get to where God tells stories about us. I want him to be up in heaven and say, man, that church down in Picayune, they going for it. They crazy. They can't dance, but they going for it. They living. He was abused all his life. He was a Samaritan, a half-breed. The Bible even mentions mongrels, dogs. Even Jesus said, when a Samaritan lady came to him asking for help, he said, is the food for the children given to dogs? He's making a cultural reference. Even the Samaritan woman that he was at the well, at the woman at the well that we all talk about, the first thing that happened, Jesus said, give me a drink. She said, why are you talking to me? You're a Jew. Jews didn't talk to Samaritans. And if they did, it was to tear them down. All his life, think about this guy. He grew up in that scenario. He grew up being abused. He grew up being talked down to. He grew up not being noticed, being treated less than. This is why racism is not going to be cured by somebody teaching a class. It has got to be, it's a heart issue. Only the Lord can take hatred out of your heart. I mean, he was abused. He was talked down. He grew up in there because I've been over there. Look, it ain't like spread out like Florida spread out. I mean, they were surrounded. Samaritans were surrounded by Jews. It was just a walk away. And all his life, he grew up with hatred toward him, bitterness toward him, all his life. And yet somehow this Samaritan didn't let it build up in his heart. He loved somebody the way Jesus would love him. He loved somebody that hated him. If we're going to keep our heart clean, we can't let hatred and bitterness. Somehow this Jew, he loved a Jew. He got past the hurt. Do you understand? You've got to learn to refuse to be bitter. You've got to learn to refuse to be offended. It's a choice of your will. You've got to learn to get over your past. We cannot allow offenses, bitterness, unforgiveness, and hatred stay in our hearts. Because if we do, they'll build up to the point they steal our life. How is it that Christian people sometimes are some of the meanest people around? How is that? Because if you let bitterness and anger and hatred and unforgiveness stay in your heart, hurt people hurt people. the brokenness. And if I let, in a group this size, if I let you tell the stories of your brokenness and all that, I got one. Me and my brother, my grandma, that my sister called Hagar, which, you know, that's not her name, but, you know. She would tie, her and her maid would tie me and my brother up to the big poster bed so they could beat us. Now, I'm not saying that we might not deserve some of that, you know. But what I am saying is, according to today's world, I'm abused. I'm unstable. Somebody help me. Or you come to Christ and don't let that bitterness stay there and you get it out and get set free. And now nobody dead's got no hold on me. We cannot allow. Let me tell you how serious this is. Let me tell you how serious this is. Look at verse Matthew 6, 12. Forgive is a command. You know what that means? When he says forgive, he's not asking you how you feel about it. He's not asking you whether you want to. It's kind of like when I tell my boys, mow the grass. I don't care if they want to or not. And probably they don't want to. I never did. God's saying, forgive. Look at what he says. This is the Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You ask God to forgive you as you forgive other people. Look at verse 14. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive, I mean, this is serious. This is huge. But if you do not forgive, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. Now, I don't want to have a debate. You know my stance. I take the whole counsel of the Bible. I don't want to debate once saved, always saved. I believe God is a covenant-keeping God, and He does not. I'm in covenant. When I gave my heart to Jesus, I got in covenant with Jesus Christ and the Father, and ain't nothing. I can't lose my salvation. If you believe you can lose your salvation, fine. That's according to your faith, be it unto you. I can't lose mine. But, well, how do you interpret this scripture, Brother Allen? There are a lot of Christians that are walking around that don't feel the love of God. When he constantly says it in the scripture, we hear songs, they don't revel, they don't have the joy of the love of God. We're insecure, we're broken, we're wondering if God knows who we are. And then some of us are just enjoying that God loves us, walking through hell enjoying it. Because we know God's with us. How has that happened? It's because if you let unforgiveness, bitterness, and hatred, and anger build up in your heart, the first thing that you'll lose sight of is the love of God for you. What a tragedy to walk through life. And some of you can say this, what a tragedy to walk through life not knowing the blessing of a father. That's a tragedy. And we've got Christians that are walking around just hurting people everywhere because they're hurt, because they cannot feel the affirmation and love of Daddy God. When I make you make those statements, you just kind of go through, but you don't feel it. You don't know it. It's a command to forgive as a choice of your will. Your feelings and emotions will follow your choices. The second, look at this. Look at the next verse, Matthew 18. Look at this. And his master, this is the one that forgave the story. His master had come back and forgave him a whole bunch of money. And then he turned around and didn't forgive is like $1 million, and this guy owed him $100,000, and he didn't forgive. The master forgave him $1 million, and he threw another servant in jail because he wouldn't pay him his $1,000. And here was the master's response. And the master was angry, delivered him to the torturers until he paid. So my heavenly Father will also do to you, each one of you, from his heart, does not forgive his brother's trespasses. That word torturer, tormentors, demonic entities. How many of us, I don't want to know, don't say. How many people in the Church of Jesus Christ are taking drugs just to escape depression? Just to escape the feel? How many are addicted to drugs because they just want to escape reality? And they're Christians. I gave my heart to Jesus. I know some of them. I've been here a long time now. I saw them and they walk with God and then somebody hurt them. You know, their wife left them, their husband, somebody, mom and dad, some friend hurt them and all that stuff. And they just let it build up and stay there. They just couldn't get over it. They just couldn't get over it. Now they are a tormented soul just looking for a pill to help them escape reality. I will turn you over to the torturers, to the tormentors. My God, does that not scare anybody else but me? And there's too many Christians that are being tormented by past hurts, past mistakes, all of those things. I am not, please hear me. Man, I have wept over this sermon. I am not making light of the pain that people go through. I am not making light of it. Please don't hear me that I'm making fun of the pain you've went through. But let me just say this. The blood of Jesus has got to be bigger than anything Satan has put on us. Or then what the heck are we doing here? It's got to be bigger than anything, any torment that Satan has tried to put on me. And both stories are the same. One of the ways we love people is forgive. We don't let it build up. How many child abusers were abused children? About 90-something percent. The hurt keeps on hurting. How many people in here have no joy? When that's one of the evidence of the Holy Spirit, it's joy. We're tormented by fear and worry about what's going to happen and this and that. And we're worried and we pray out of fear. People pray. Most of our motivation for prayer is, please, God, don't let this happen. Please, God, this. Please, God. And that's fear. It's tormented by fear. When God says plainly, I didn't give you the spirit of fear. If you got fear, it ain't from God. And the Lord pronounced to me, and this is, it's here. The Lord said, today is a day of freedom. Today is a day of freedom. Because freedom comes when you forgive. Listen, when you have bitterness, here's one of the ways you know if you have bitterness and unforgiveness and all that. You keep rehearsing the stories. Not in a, like her story was a testimony to the goodness of God. You keep telling the stories. You can weep over it. Something that happened 20 years ago. You keep repeating. You keep listening to the songs. You keep looking at pictures. You keep going back. That's how you know if you got something built up in your heart. Forgiveness starts, number one, with acknowledging Jesus, you're my Lord. And second of all, saying, I know you don't want that in my heart, so I choose to release it.